In the late 80s, early 90s, directors Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jankel embarked on a project never really before attempted, to create a first video game movie adaptation. Never been done. Everything seemed to be going well. Nintendo loved the idea. They were pitched a gritty retelling of the famous Plumbing Brothers. But after a while, the scripts got thrown out and Disney took over. There's some behind the scenes bits where people aren't talking. And what we get really in 1993 is a movie which has nothing really to do with Mario Brothers. It's a massive fuck up, which the cast hated, people on the scenes hated, Bob Hoskins drunk a lot. But over the years, this film's become a massive cult classic. So join us this week on So Bad Is It Good, as we walk the dinosaur and trust the fungus and ask the question, is Super Mario Brothers really bad, or is it that good? Hi, and welcome to So Bad Is It Good. I am your host, Mark Goddard. This week, we are going 90s and a little bit mental, which still feels like 80s, and we've got some other films coming out around exactly the same week as this, which are much, much better. I am your host, Mark Goddard, and as always, I am joined by my ragtag group of fellow reviewers. So first up, we have from the group of movie reviews, it's Chloe Davies.
Hello.
We have also my two co-hosts from the Snakebite Horrorcast, it's Niall Whitlock.
Or do we say hello at the same time? Should we do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
You ready?
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Hello.
Hello.
So guys. So guys, episode 2. So last month, we did Killer Snowmen. And this time, we're going into the world of dinosaurs. So Marcus, as always, as my intro guy, Marcus, tell us a little bit about Super Mario Brothers the movie.
Right, now clearly people were on mushrooms when they were making this. It being the 90s until, would not surprise me. Imagine Super Mario Bros, but the storyline has been made into jigsaw pieces and someone has thrown them into a pot and they've picked them out at random and that's how they play the story. It doesn't match up to the video games. It's more like Mad Max and Star Trek mixed together with a bit of Jurassic Park in there. So yeah, two plumbers trying to battle out against rival plumbers, as you do. But naturally, this obviously means there is a portal to an alternate dimension, which they have to go through. The two brothers, two plumbers, Mario Luigi, or Mario and Luigi Di Mario, which always makes me laugh.
Does it make any sense of it?
They go to this like Mad Max universe, and turns out King Cooper, is that the one? Yeah, we'll go with it.
Yeah,
he. Is trying to get out of his dimension and overtake the human dimension by getting shiny rock, which then merges with meteor that it chipped off of, which destroyed the dinosaurs, but is now there still. And these dinosaurs are actually goomers. goomers? Goons. Yeah, they're goons.
I think gooners is something completely different.
I might have to look up what that actually is.
That's a different Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, he has a machine that can evolve things and de-evolve things. So he takes people he doesn't like and he de-evolves them into goobers. Goomers?
Goombas.
By the way, gooners is a term for people who support Arsenal.
Oh, I'm thinking a completely different type of gooning. Continue.
So, as I was saying, it devolves them into the Goonies, which is even better. And he can evolve some of them, like he does his cousins, into intelligent individuals who aren't so intelligent. And Super Mario Brothers save the day, as you can imagine, given by the title. And then they do it. They finally say the title by saying, these guys are Super Mario Brothers. And I'm like, they did it. He said the thing. And the princess that they're saving isn't Peach, as you would probably guess. It's Daisy for some reason. When the fuck did she come into the film?
Oh, she is actually in the original games, so I'm going to let them have that one.
Okay, fair enough. They save the day, and everyone is okay that a dimension apparently exists with dinosaurs. And we get to see Yoshi, who looks not like Yoshi. I'm sorry, this film is just all over the place.
It is all over the place, and it goes to show with all the back of house kind of stuff, the amount of kind of what they originally plotted to Nintendo and what Nintendo agreed to and what they finally got was so, so vastly different. But what I'm going to do is go for you guys and see what you guys thought. So I'm going to start with Chloe. Chloe, what did you think of the Mario Brothers movie?
It was tonally insane. Obviously, there was so many arguments on set and everything. I know I think the filmmakers wanted to make a gritty film. The studio obviously wanted something more kid-friendly because that's who plays the games. But I just love how insane it is. It's kind of psychedelic. It's a little bit Blade Runner. Just you look at it compared to the games and it's like so different. I just can't believe how many like famous faces they got in this film. I mean, we've got Dennis Hopper who is super creepy. Aunt Petunia from Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. That woman from American Psycho. Just everyone I looked at was like, I know them. And it was crazy. So yeah, I did enjoy it though, unlike most people.
I mean, the cast could have been so much different though, because originally the King Cooper character was offered originally to Arnold Schwarzenegger. He turned it down.
Oh, that would have been
cool. Were so many casting changes. I think Michael Keaton was supposed to be in it at some point.
Yeah, he was supposed to be Cooper as well.
Yeah.
And apparently Tom Hanks was offered it, but then Nintendo went, nah, you're right. Because he had quite a couple of films, but he wasn't kind of...
That's some flops, didn't he, at the time?
Yeah. So they went, nah, he's not a great actor. And then he went out and had like several massive movies. How about you, Niall? What did you think of this one?
Well, this was the part of the 90s where I grew up. So it felt pretty familiar, to be honest. It was a Power Rangers film before Power Rangers was a thing. It just, if you just squint your eyes at it and pretend there's a big mech fight in the middle, it was Power Rangers. It's just such a mess. If I was Nintendo, whoever paid for this got a really bad deal. But mm-hmm. Who wants to guess how much this movie cost?
It was way over budget, I know that, and they've made about half of the amount of money back.
I've got both figures here, so whoever wants to take a guess.
So now they made, what, about 39 million worth?
39 million is a number, that's how much it made.
Yeah.
So how much did they spend on
it?
So
about 60 million?
Lower.
Ooh, lower, 55?
50?
Lower.
Is it like 48?
40?
£15. No, it's £48 million they spent on it.
Fuck.
Somehow. Man. It's got to all be
that's,
the cast.
That's such
though,
a
surely.
Big loss.
Although, I will say, I think the sets are brilliant.
I thought it looked really cool.
Mm.
Like, the detail on everybody's costumes and just everything looks so cool. But it's just taken away by how shit the film is.
Like, well, that's because originally, because it was supposed to be so gritty originally, that's why it was so dark and gringy. It's supposed to be sex workers and, like, really kind of dark adult-themed stuff in it. Which, by the time they then changed the script, they already had the sets built. So they kind of went, oh, fuck it, we'll just use the sets.
Yeah. Which is good, because, I mean, if you take that away, I can't think of a single positive thing.
Nor can Bob Hoskins.
Well, it's just bizarre. I just feel like there was lots with you talking about like arguments. I've got a feeling that they had one kid thing like, okay, they'll dress up like plumbers halfway through. They go, okay, fine, but we get to stab a dinosaur with a knife. Okay, fine, we'll let you do that. Yeah, it was just really strange. I still sort of feel like it was a dream.
It is like an acid dream, I'll give it that.
Yeah.
How about you, Marcus? Your thoughts on the film?
I mean, first of all, they completely got the age difference between the Mario Brothers wrong. Nintendo apparently is saying that Mario Brothers are like 26 years old each, roughly. Which does not match up when you've got someone who literally looks like a dad and a son together. And the film is just... It's funny, but it's so bad that it turns good. The whole way through, they didn't really follow anything to do with Mario. When Luigi finally picked out a mushroom, I was like, yes, he's going to eat the mushroom and get a power-up. And he doesn't. That's it. He just like, hey, look, it's communicating. Then kills it by picking it off the stalk and it just walks off. Like, where did that come from?
That's the thing, there was no actual game references in it. They just had like a completely different object and then slapped the character's name on it. Like, it's a it's a dinosaur. Well, that can be Yoshi. Okay. just, yeah, that was the extent of the game.
I mean, Yoshi was a last-minute addition, because when they originally started scripting it, Mario World hadn't come out yet by that point. So, for the 1990, Mario World came out on the NES. The SNES, sorry. And that's when I went, oh, you know what? We'll set it in a Dino World and we'll shove Yoshi in there as well. He seems to be popular.
That's so bad. The only reason I could tell that was Yoshi was because he stuck his tongue out to grab the lady's leg. And I was thinking, wait, is that Yoshi? And then they said Yoshi's name later on. I was like, oh, that's the only reference it has.
It's a Frankenstein's monster of a film, this. Yeah.
The other thing as well with it is they just happened to find a locker that just so happened to have the correct costumes, both fitting both of them. It's like, oh, okay, you've finally done it. You finally wore the right outfits.
About an hour in, isn't it?
And the Big Bertha scene, that was just... I don't know how I felt about it.
I loved the Big Bertha scene.
I was the whole way through, I was like, oh my god, she's going to start liking Mario, isn't she? And then he's like, I'm going to use my moves on her dances, and then she actually likes him. I'm like, what? How? Just why? Oh, it's a great film.
So let's just go positive then. So any bits that you really kind of stood out to you that you really enjoyed?
Well, the scene we just mentioned, the nightclub scene with the dancing and stuff, I for some reason really love that one. It kind of made me laugh that Mario's kink is revealed as, you know, being punched by a tall woman. Okay. Like, let's go with that. Apparently that scene was filled with actual strippers as well, so that's kind of hilarious to know as you watch it. They also had some tunes playing in that scene. We had Love is the Drug, the dinosaur song. I was like, you know, vibing.
That song's so getting played in this podcast at some point. Which was actually used again in Ice Age 4, I believe, as well.
There's four of them.
All the dinosaurs.
Well, they were in the strippers in that as well.
Well, Luigi probably was Sid, isn't he? In Ice Age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fun fact.
That's a good little...
That is weird.
At least his career kind of got better from this.
Wait, is that actually true? I thought you lot were just making fun.
So he must have gone straight from this into Romeo and Juliet, though. This must be one of his earlier movies.
He looked very young in this. It did really throw me off at first when Mario and Luigi showed up and Luigi was super young. I just imagined him with the moustache and everything, and it's like, that is not who I pictured.
I don't know if Harold Ramis from Ghostbusters was supposed to be kind of connected to Luigi at one point. I know he was supposed to go through some script rewrites, but I think he was also kind of, they're trying to get him to be Luigi. Which would have been a strange choice, but it would have been at least matching the ages up.
Mm. Very true.
What about you then, Noel? If any.
Pass?
Fair enough. Marcus?
The film itself wasn't, like, I don't know. It felt like there was loads of good bits that were just mashed together all wrong. Like, if they'd stuck to one idea from the beginning, this film could have been really good one way or the other, like, depending on, well, pleasing one set of audience, you know. They're trying to cut across between pleasing adults as pleasing children, and... But the film itself, I feel like if they had taken away the Super Mario part altogether and just made it as two random, like, completely different characters, unique ones, this could have been a really good film. But because they've tried to compare it and base it off of a game that already has a storyline... It just doesn't work. They're like, right, this is a story. We're going to copy it. Makes an entirely new story. It doesn't work at all.
What they should have done, instead of having Mario and Luigi, they should have had 7 teenagers who have these medallions that when they hold them on their belt, they give them, like, super armor powers and maybe big mech suits.
That's a really unique idea. I think you should really try and push for that to be done.
I'm not sure they'd have to change much.
I think you could probably name it the slightly above average what do you call it? Campers.
That's not the opposite of those words. If that's what you go for.
So I have to figure that.
What's the opposite of morphing?
Morphing? What?
Yeah.
I was trying to think of Power Rangers, but different.
Yeah, that's what they're mighty morphing Power Rangers.
Oh right.
Are we all thinking about it now?
I am.
Not so mighty anymore.
Non-transforming...
The Fantastic Seven.
Power.
Choco Hour.
about you, Mark?
But I did. Me, I love the Big Bertha scene. I think that's hilarious. I think you're right. If you were to make this a completely different film, but make it more 80s as well, it could be quite a good film. It is alright. It's an alright film. Sure, it is one of those kind of cult classic, it is so bad, it is good kind of movie. But this is actually the only live-action Nintendo movie based on Nintendo property that they've done until 2019.
Yeah, so this is probably the reason.
Yeah. So they've obviously been a bit burnt.
This film's weird, because if it had come out in the 80s, it would have probably done a lot better, because it was in that phase in the 80s where Nintendo was trying to get into the USA. And literally all their adverts, if you like YouTube them, like 80s Nintendo adverts, they're all like this film. They have absolutely nothing to do with the consoles or the games. It's just like stuff exploding just to try and capture Americans' attention.
Ooh, explosions. I think... Yes.
That is literally what it is.
Because it wasn't the first time Mario is in a movie. It was in... There's a movie from the 80s which involves a power glove.
That's the anime.
No, it's a live action movie. It's a kid gets the power glove and it goes into a Nintendo gaming competition. A little bit like e-sporting, but it was in the 80s. And he used the power glove to get through the levels, and he actually had him playing the original Mario on that. But that's the first time he kind of really appeared in a movie. And I think they went from that and went, oh, that's worked quite well. Let's do it ourselves, kind of thing. But I think what went wrong is Disney then purchased the distribution rights in the US and they demanded several rewrites themselves. This is right before they started shooting, so the sets were even made. But they wanted to make it more kid-friendly because they're reading the script. It's like, strippers? Gritty strip clubs? I don't think so. Not in our on our watch. And that's what's ruined it. But then nobody on set talked about the changes. So producers didn't know anything from the writers. The writers didn't know anything from directors. Directors are like, fuck it, I'm just going to do what I want to do. But Hoskins is like, this is the worst thing I've ever done. This is the first thing. He's always states this is the worst thing he's ever done in his career. And him and a couple other members of the cast were just drinking all over it in between takes just to get through the recorder. It's mental.
And if you think this was the last time Disney tried to ruin something like that, you are wrong. Because this is exactly what they did with Ant-Man.
Yeah. Ant-Man was just way different. Edgar Wright left.
Because they basically rewrote the script without him because they didn't like it.
Still makes me sad. What could have been?
Yeah, same. Well, we're lucky that film wasn't more of a fuck-up than it was.
It was still alright, but it's just like, what could have been with Edgar Wright still, like... I want to see it.
I think Paul Rudd sort of took over with that other famous guy. Can't remember his name. Other famous writer. But otherwise, that would have been the same as this.
Yeah.
We'd have had another Mario film.
A cult classic.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
And Goombas. That's not what a Goomba looks like. We know it's not what a Goomba looks like.
They just make nightmares about them. Yeah, it's so weird.
From like Ripley's Believe It or Not.
But the thing is, Goombas have famously got quite large heads.
And tiny bodies.
Compared to their bodies.
They do.
So it doesn't make
just
any sense.
Big head and legs. They're just a giant mushroom.
Did you not notice the guy who was playing the guitar, I think his name was Toad, when he got turned into a Goomba.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be them creating Toad, because he was quite nice. But then it just was a Goomba. It wasn't Toad. What happened to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only reference to Toads in the entire
Someone
film.
Someone should give him his mushroom hat. That's what he was missing.
Originally, it was the Mushroom Kingdom, because obviously Daisy's dad is a mushroom thing that's leaking. But then they're saying it's part of the Dino World, so it's very kind of... Like, originally it was supposed to be Mushroom Kingdom, and then they went, oh no, dinosaurs now. Okay? Dinosaurs.
Everybody loves Jurassic Park. Let's do dinosaurs.
Which is ironic, because 2 weeks after this movie was released in 1993, Jurassic Park was released.
Yeah. They were so successful in this film, they thought, we want some of that.
Yeah. I want some dinosaurs.
Yeah, 2 weeks they made the film.
Yeah, well, they should have had Sam Neill as Mario. Could have done better.
On the same week, this film went up against a Sylvester Stallone classic movie, Cliffhanger. Totally different movies, but obviously Jurassic Park coming out, and Jurassic Park's graphics is so amazing, and you look at the graphics in this one, and it's so awful. But can't be much, you know. You got a £48 million, you know, so dollar budget on this. You can spend some more money on some of the other stuff.
Jurassic Park only cost £15 million more.
There you go. See, chuck a bit more in. They could have done better.
Should have just given up, really.
I think they spent. Spent most of the money on just engines for cars and sparks flying off everything.
Well, yeah, it must have just been the sets and the cast.
Yeah, that's it.
Primarily. Hey, talking about how Bob Hoskins hated this film, I've got a little quote from him. So, during this film, he took the job because he thought it was just going to be some easy money. For a start, he'd never heard of Mario, so he didn't know it was actually made based on a game. He didn't really give a shit. But he was also, during filming, stabbed 4 times... electrocuted, he broke his finger, and was nearly drowned.
I want to know how he was stabbed 4 times.
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't actually elaborate. It's the electrocution one I'm more interested in.
I know how he broke his finger, but I don't know how all the other things happened.
How do you nearly drown?
How did he break his finger?
It got shot in the van.
Oh. How does he nearly drown though? Like, there was no water.
Clearly, anything can happen on this set.
He got gunged at one point, didn't he?
In the prison.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. It's the only thing I can think of.
They just cut that bit out. They're like, nah, this is too bad.
Yeah, maybe. Well, he almost drowned, so they probably had to for legal reasons.
You say that. There are some films out there who have their actors die on set because they're drowning or whatever, and they still release it.
Or was it The Crow had someone?
Got shot,
that's the famous one.
Someone he died, shot, yeah. Fake gun, but a real bullet in there. Why is there a real bullet in there? Yep. We'll never know. But anyway, so it goes to the question, is this film just bad or is it good? So I'm going to see Chloe first. Chloe, are you going to keep this in the vault or are you going to put it into the pit?
It's going in the vault, and I'm also going to write and direct a sequel.
Do you know what? At the end of this movie, you could so do a sequel.
I really want to.
Niall.
Okay. I am going to put it in the pit because I've got a feeling that's what everybody involved in making the film would want.
It's out of respect.
So I'm doing it for them, okay?
It's time to open up the door to the pit and throw it, and maybe throw it in, depending on what Marcus is going to say as well. Marcus.
Yeah?
It's all up to you.
I'm going to keep it in the vault. I'm going to put it in the pit.
The suspense, the tension. I'm going to put it in the vault. I want the cast to be tormented another film to do it all over again. Make it better. Make it stronger. Drink more in between each scenes. Make it funnier.
See if we can get someone stabbed 6 times this time.
Got 2 fingers in the back.
But now it's down to me then. Do I put it in the vault or do we go to a tie? This is awful. This movie is absolutely awful. I'm gonna put it in the pit.
No.
I'm sorry, but I hate this movie. I really don't like this movie.
What are we doing?
Are now tied. So now I've got to put it into purgatory.
By the way, though, if we have put it down the pit, you can imagine. Yeah. You know that bit where Mario falls down the hole? It's just gonna look like that forever. Just go round and round.
Just constantly going. Just constant.
Yeah.
Now I've got to create a saying that sounds like purgatory now. That's going to be fun. Right.
I was going to say what happens to the
time. So it's going to now go into the world of purgatory. It's just going to sit there in an utter just despair for the rest of its life.
Why don't we let the viewers vote? Anything in purgatory is just viewer vote.
Marcus, we don't have viewers.
Yeah, come on, there's 5 free people out there.
This come on, democracy.
No, it stays in fucking purgatory. It stays there and it likes
You'll notice Marcus 1, 2, 3 and 4 have all voted for it to stay.
That's not far off your Twitter name now, though, is it?
Just, I clicked random generate name, or I typed in Marcus and it was like, oh yeah, this username's taken, we recommend, and it had like a 16-digit long number, and I was like, yeah, sure, I don't even know what it is. If I ever get locked out...
This is why we never tag you.
If I ever get locked out, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
And we never tag you anything because of this reason. So, our next film choice is going to be picked by Chloe. So, Chloe, what are you picking for our next So Bad Is It Good?
I picked The Ginger Dead Man.
Run, run, as fast as you can. Something's in the oven, The Ginger Dead Man. Evil never tasted so good.
Eat me, you punk bitch!
So, next episode, we're going back to horror, and we're going to be going to the bakery with the Ginger Dead Man. Now, unfortunately, Niall's laptop has decided to do an update halfway through this record, so he has gone from our record for some reason. So, oh, shit.
Oh, no, he's right here, Mark. I've got him with me, social distance, of course.
Of course.
He can say goodbye, don't worry.
Why have you got him? No, don't hurt him. No, run away now. Right, okay, just to say goodbye. So again, thank you for joining us this week on the podcast. As always, I've been joined by my amazing co-hosts. Chloe, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at ChloeDav196 and Letterboxd at DavisChloe7, and I also do Groovy Movie Reviews.
Marcus, we'll always find you over on the Snake by Horrorcast. You can also find me over at Bloody Good Reads and over at Snake by Horrorcast as well. Bloody Good Reads will be dropping a new episode every week as well, so do check out new episodes there. I think by the time this one goes out, we are just about to post our interview with Graham Masterton, who's a huge name in horror. Great chat, and there's a couple of really good stories of when he used to work in the adult magazine trade. So there you go. That's some good stories to tell you. So as always, you can find myself, Marcus, and Noel on the Snakebite Horrorcast. A few changes to that's going to be up soon as well, so we'll discuss that in the next episode. A few kind of episode changes and how we're going to do the format and kind of make it a bit more easier for you guys to listen to the podcast as well. And yeah, we'll see you on that one as well. So I have been your host, Mark Goddard, and I've been joined by Chloe Davies.
Trust the fungus. Goodbye.
Do it, Marcus.
Oh, no, come say goodbye to everyone. Can't do any more than that for copyright.
Who just recalled us?
He says goodbye. He said to leave a note. His stomach just suddenly had a turn, so he's just ran off quick.
No, his laptop just hung.
He said goodbye, don't worry.
His laptop just failed on us. I know this. Goodbye from me, and goodbye from Marcus.
Toodles.